You are listening to From a Stranger to a Stranger. This is Issa Martel. Today is September 8th, which is Dhul Hijjah, the 27th in the Islamic year of 1439, which corresponds to 2018. It is a late night here, and we're doing this. So since the last time, a bunch of stuff went down on the internet, and let's talk about it. So first we had the whole Nike scandal go down, right? So Nike posts this Kaepernick ad. I'm sure everyone saw it or heard something about it or whatnot. And it caused people to burn their shoes and stuff. And just caused general outrage amongst people online. Well, in real life, but they decide to burn their products and then post videos of them burning them. And, you know, this is interesting because you already gave Nike your money. So the point that you burn the your shoes or cut your Nike logos off, what have you, you know, makes no difference whatsoever to them. And they're still going to make money because they have tons of support going behind them in this. I just think it's a little bit interesting that they would pick him as their spokesperson, because he basically didn't do anything in like 2 years, and we can say the NFL banned him or whatever the situation is. But he really hasn't been relevant, except that he is fighting this battle against the NFL and appears as someone who is like an activist now. I get what he is doing. I understand that. But I also get the side of the NFL and any type of organization or employer that you have. When he's in his football uniform, you know, he's expected to act in a certain way, and he chose not to act in that way. And you can take that as a protest, which it is, but you know, from the flip side, you know, you can say that, you know, the NFL has every right to do that, because in my day job, you know, if I'm in my uniform, which is highly noticeable, and I act a certain way, I can get repercussions from my job based on those actions. And if they don't represent my company in a quality manner, I'm sure I'll hear about it. Let's say, for example, a couple years ago, a friend of mine was walking. We were in downtown St. Paul, and we were coming from work, so we had our uniforms on, and this guy who had been harassing him throughout the day decided to swing on him right on Robert Street, right downtown St. Paul. So my friend, you know, isn't having that, so he warned him numerous times and then just laid him out. So, because we were in our uniforms, it was treated by our company, which is Metro Transit. If you live around here, you know this. And as opposed to being brought up, dealt with by St. Paul police. So it was handled by Metro Transit police as opposed to St. Paul police, which therefore it was like an internal thing, as opposed to we weren't working. I mean, we were technically off of work, but because it happened in this area and while we were in work clothes, it got dealt with that way. However, nothing came about because there's cameras everywhere and, witness. I happened to be a witness, and a St. Paul cop happened to be a witness, so it ended up being nothing. But that's just an example of how, when you're in your work attire and you are employed by a company, you are expected to act in a certain manner. However, that's not really the issue I have about this. The issue I have is I hate this concept that we as America have with the national anthem, or the Pledge of Allegiance. It's like it's not obligatory to stand during the national anthem. It's not obligatory to take your hat off or to do anything. But if you don't do that, you're viewed as like anti-American, And it's crazy because what if you don't stand because you got bad knees or something? Like the people look at you, you're like demonized at events because of this. And this goes into another aspect of this collective mob mentality that now has taken over our culture via the internet or anything, where it's like everyone has to jump on the bandwagon, and there's no longer, or it's very limited, personal opinion or anything. It's this collective. We're right, collective, it's like social justice, but collective social justice. And this type of stuff, I think, ultimately is a negative in our culture and in our communities. If you don't I mean physically stand for the national anthem, you shouldn't have to. It's not a big deal. I get that, I understand how you may think that it's about our veterans and this and that. But in all honesty, you're not being drafted now. So even our veterans chose to go do that. And I personally have issues with veterans having like a higher standard than a civilian or a non-veteran. It's kind of like Starship Troopers in that way. And I know if you happen to be a veteran or support the military, and I support the military to a degree. I don't, you know, I don't have anything really against them. But it is, and I have many friends that are in the military. I actually had a friend who died in the military as well. I just think that it's not right that if you choose to join the military upon returning to the US, you should have a higher status. Because you did that. And you do. You have veteran preferences in getting jobs. You have, I mean, even down to like getting veteran discounts, free coffee or whatever. And it's the same thing with police. police always get free coffee and stuff at the at the gas station or whatever, and it's based on the issue that they're serving our community, which they are, but they're choosing to do that, you know, just as I choose to work in my job, which is, you know, even though you're probably not willing to admit this, but is probably more dangerous in a sense, than being a policeman, because I'm not wearing a bulletproof vest and they don't let me carry a gun. They only let us carry CS spray, which we have to get permits to carry, which I did because I think you're foolish not to. But you know, we're there, and you watch videos of transit operators getting assaulted, especially in Minneapolis. It is getting worse and worse. And you're just supposed to take it, essentially, to a certain degree. You can easily get killed if the person has the intention to kill someone. And you have to, there is training programs that we sit through and listen to stories of you know, incidents that happen on transit, on buses and trains and stuff, and they're crazy. But the fact is that I don't get free coffee. You know what I mean? And you can make an argument that, well, a cop can get shot or whatever, but chances are a cop getting shot is going to survive, but me getting shot is not. I mean, that's just the reality. And it's just, I don't know. I think it's, I have respect for cops. I have respect for law enforcement. I like what they do. It's necessary that we have them. But the culture of America where we treat people, it comes down to guns ultimately. If you're carrying a gun, you get treated better, like than someone who isn't. And that's basically what it comes down to. If your job involves carrying a gun, you have some higher status than the rest of us, you know. Why aren't paramedics getting free coffee, you know? Why isn't anyone? It's just, I really don't like this idea that we have here, and it just seems to be getting more extreme. And in this with this Kaepernick thing, just highlights it. People are burning their articles, and don't get me started on the memes that now came out addressing like all these. There's crazy memes out there. I don't know if you follow the internet, but if you want to see the crazy memes, you're welcome to send me a message or something on Facebook, because I've been collecting them. I don't post them because most people will find them extremely offensive, but they're hilarious if you can take a joke. And they're hilarious in that regard. But you know, it's gotten to such an extreme where this is reaction, and I find it odd that these people are reacting to this incident, but they had no problem buying Nike products, knowing that where they're made, how they're made, you know, the accusations of child labor, sweatshops, and this. Oh, that's fine. You know, that's, you don't have any morals about that. But once, you know, I don't want to say once a black man does this, but it seems that if you're not about it because you're in the military or something, it's because he's black, and that's a reality. Another thing that's even more mind-boggling is people are on it about this, and I sent out a tweet And I don't hardly use Twitter, so you can follow me there, but I'm not like tweeting all the time. But it was basically like, you are boycotting this, but in Pennsylvania, people are still going to church. They are still going to church on Sundays. They're not boycotting going to church, after these not accusations. I mean, they just came out and said all this pedophilia has been going on. And people still go to Subway, right? Freaking, what is his name? Jared, fat dude that got thin from eating Subway, was a pedophile. People still go there. They didn't boycott Subway 1 second. So if these things are going on, then really what is the issue? What Nike? What is it? It's hard to say that it's not about race when other more heinous things, I mean, these are really heinous. Pedophilia is a heinous, where you're so low. If you're a pedophilia, if you get convicted of pedophilia, they have to isolate you in prison because other criminals will physically harm you and possibly kill you. That's how low and like you're thought of. That's it. Even the other criminals think you're scum when you do this. So if that stuff doesn't bother you, I don't know what's going to. I really don't. And it's our culture is just whack, man. It's just crazy. But enough about that. I don't really care too much. I don't buy Nike products. My shoes, and if you say something, if you happen to see my videos on YouTube, if you don't know, I teach sword stuff. I practice Persian martial arts. There's videos of me giving seminars and me practicing and getting reviewed and stuff by my instructor. And I have a pair of Nikes on. And the reason why is because I'm flat-footed and unfortunately or fortunately, they are the best support for my feet. And I tried every kind of shoe brand before, and that's the only thing I own. And it took me until I was in my 30s or something to buy a pair of Nikes. But ironically about this, right, check this out. Like on Eid, which was a couple weeks ago, me and my friend were talking because I had a pair of 5'11 gloves that I had in my backpack, and we were taught we got on he we go hunting together and stuff, so we were talking about the best kind of gloves, and he mentioned that he was talking to some military guys, and they had told him that the best pair of gloves they use is Oakleys, and he said the best pair of boots are Nikes. So if you like are about the military here, the dudes in the military who have to march and are on their feet all the time are using Nikes because they're support-wise and everything, you have to admit that they're quality. So it's just completely whack, completely mind-boggling, this whole thing that's going on. It's hard to argue that it's about race, but it's hard to argue a lot of things. I guess it's hard to argue that it's not about race, particularly because the videos of people burning stuff are white people. And so that's just that. Anyway, enough about that. Another thing that happened was Eminem dropped this crazy record that happened overnight. Nobody knew. But then MGK Machine Gun Kelly responded to this diss. If you do not listen to hip hop or anything, then you probably have no idea what I'm talking about. But I happen to still follow Eminem. I really don't listen to much music now. I listen to just I don't even know what I listen to. But I listen to instrumental. I like music. If I'm gonna listen to music, it's typically like some sort of instrumental type of music, electronic music. But this is I've been listening to forever. This is my kind of thing. Drums. I like drumming a lot. Particularly like a Middle Eastern type of drumming or some sort of ethnic drumming. I like. I like very cultural music. But I still follow certain bands that I have been fans of since I was in high school. Eminem came after that shortly, but I still follow him because I was a fan of Dr. Dre and these people that I, like I said, I just follow as artists. I'd like to see where they're at now because we're kind of in the same age demographic. So I pay attention to Eminem whenever he does something. And so this happened. Machine Gun Kelly came out, who's young, a white rapper. I don't really like too much, but he's basically underground, and he responded with this whole record, excuse me, that is like this massive diss track to Eminem, which I think is good for the culture of hip hop right now because it sucks, man. This crap, this mumble rap crap, I hear it all day driving, sitting on the bus. Dudes like are like, I don't know. I'm sure you can say, well, when we were in high school, that's the equivalent, but it's not, man. It's not. We had music. Granted, it shifted from the 80s to the 90s. It went into like different craziness of industrial techno grunge popped off for a minute, but it was still all for the most part understandable, and even hip hop you can understand it now. It's gotten so garbage. There's like four words in a song and it's just repeated and mumbling along, hence the name mumble rap. About the only thing good about it are the beats, and that's about it. It's typically like hype music, I guess you would say. But the content is really garbage. And you can make an argument that, Eminem's content back then was pretty much craziness as well. But at the same time, it was something that people can relate to. And I know that the kids now relate to this. I spoke to a prominent figure in African American culture. Last school year, I'm a member of the Forest Lake African American Affinity Group, and so we have speakers come in from Minneapolis and St. Paul area and talk to us as adults, as parents of kids that go to the school district. And he made a point, which is valid, that this is their music, the youth today, and this is what they relate to. And I get that, but I don't have to agree that it's really quality. And if that's what the youth are listening to, then perhaps we need to address greater aspects of the culture of the youth, that this is what they're doing. I mean, when you watch these videos of them, they're just like straight up no message videos, just alcohol flying everywhere, people drunk. I mean, they're just nothing. I mean, literally there is no point to the music now. Like, and I view music kind of always as, and art in general. I went to art school. I've been going to art school since I was like 6 years old. Back in Pennsylvania, I took private lessons on weekends throughout all the way through high school. I worked as an artist assistant to a pretty famous artist for years. I was involved in the art scene over there. So I follow art, and I always understood art to be a reflection of our society, life imitates art type of thing. And then you have the flip side, art imitates life. So if art is imitating life right now, then our culture is completely screwed. And the youth are really, really messed up in the head. But the reason I bring all this up is when I had listened to that Eminem record, Kamikaze, it made me think about how the state of Dawah and Islam is right now as well in the West, right? It's kind of like a bunch of rapper cliques, you know, and, you know, everyone's like battling each other. There's no unity in, and it's reflecting in Islam in this manner as well, and the same as it is in hip hop. So it makes you wonder how much all these cultures influence each other. Back in the 90s, you heard mention of Muslims in hip-hop, and a lot of people got interested in Islam through hip-hop rappers and stuff, speaking about it, or being Muslim themselves. And now it seems that all those people brought into the discourse of Islam this like battling type of thing, where instead of talking about issues, we attack the people who are bringing the issue to the forefront. We have a lot of issues, man. We have a lot, right? And I'll just mention one thing that's going on now. If you're not Muslim, sorry, I'm bringing this up right now. But you can follow along. I'll try to make it as easy as possible. There is a guy. His name is... what's his name? He's in the UK. I won't mention his name, actually. But... he brought to attention that there are hadith, which are sayings and traditions that Prophet Muhammad did that are documented. So in Islam, just a brief concepts, theological concept is that you have the Quran, which is the direct word of God. So the I in the Quran is God speaking. Then you have, so that's the primary source of the religion. Then you have what are called hadith, which are the actions that Prophet Muhammad did and the things that he said and how basically he interpreted the revelation, which is the Quran. So you have the Quran, which is God speaking, and essentially it's God speaking to Muhammad. So there, that is the reason why a lot of the verses in the Quran begin with say. So that's God directing Muhammad to say this, you know, say whatever, say this. So the word say is actually in the Quran. That's how the line starts. And then so based on this, you have hadith, which are what Prophet Muhammad did and how he interpreted that. So this brother in the UK brings to attention, and he's educated. He studied for years. He's highly educated in the religion, speaks Arabic and everything. He brought to the attention via YouTube about hadith that seem weird and contradictory or seem like they don't make sense. And they are in the strongest book of hadith, which is Sahih Bukhari. So, and they're valid. And the issue, right, with bringing this attention is that it caught these hadith cause either non-Muslims to question the religion based off this. It's like, because these hadith don't make sense. It's like, why would a prophet... It's kind of like the same reason I would question the Bible, in a sense that, why would Noah be a drunk? You know what I mean? Why would these things happen? Why would you have incest? You know, why would your daughters try to get you drunk to have sex with you? It, to me, this is not this doesn't make sense. And this is essentially one of the reasons why I looked at other religions than Christianity. But when you have this same type of stuff going on in Hadith, you then open the door for non-Muslims to be like, yo, you're saying your religion is whatever, and what is this? You know, you're saying your prophet is this, what is this? And then it causes, because these Hadith books are massive, there's thousands of sayings and thousands of Hadith, it causes even Muslims, once they become exposed to this, to be like, yeah, you know what, that is true, what's up with this? And they might question their own belief in the religion or their own faith or whatever, and maybe feed into this idea that, you know, these aren't, it might like bring, there's a lot of issues that can come which may reject Hadith and go only to following the Quran or whatever, which a lot of people do. In essence, it just brings questions and ultimately can bring doubt into a person's mind. So instead of us dealing with this, because it is an issue, like many things with Muslims, it is an issue. Instead of dealing with the issue, people attack him, you know, and say, oh, he's this and he's that and he's whatever, you know. It's straight like a rap battle, beef, you know. And whoever is, it's sad. It's so sad because I had been seeing this going on. And a lot of brothers and sisters who are my age in their 40s, right? Those of us who had embraced Islam in the 90s, right? So now we've been in it for almost maybe 20 years, you know, around that mark. You've seen this whole time. It's never changed. And it's always attack the person. Never deal with the issues. And I don't know why this is. I don't know why we can't openly bring to the table, look, these are problems, right? These are problems that people have, right? We're at this level. What are other problems? There are alcoholic Muslims. There are drug addict Muslims. There are people, Muslims, having sex outside of marriage, you know, Muslims beating their wives, you know, all these things. Muslims are people, so you're going to have all these problems, you know, in the community and in the society. But how, you know, instead of like saying whatever lame excuse, I'm just going to call it like that, lame excuse that Muslims try to say, either they'll try to cover it up, or say you're not as good of a Muslim as me, you know, or be patient or whatever crap you're told. Why don't we just deal with it? You know, suicide. Now that's a big thing going on now, right? Muslims committing suicide. So what's going on? Why aren't we addressing that, right? This is huge. In fact, on Facebook, someone was just talking to it, and the brother that I know from here, he tagged me in the post and was like, look, this has been going on, just nobody's paying attention. And he tagged me, he was like, yo, Issa, tell him, you know? So we have issues, but nobody wants to hear him. You know, nobody wants to hear the reality of what's going on, you know? People just want to have this fake life of whatever, right? But that's not how it is. And personally, from my experience, right, the issue amongst the West, meaning the US, probably Canada, and probably the UK and Europe, UK is, Islam is pretty big, but maybe not so much what I'm about to say, is that American converts to Islam are kind of sidelined in the Islamic discourse that goes on in the States. So you have, if you're born from a family that's from the Middle East or anywhere like North Africa, India, Pakistan, anywhere in the Middle East, you kind of are a higher rank than an American convert. And especially if you ain't a white American convert. If you're a white American convert, you can weasel your way into those ranks because for some reason these people have self-esteem issues or whatever, and they like white people. You know, they want the white brother or the white sister to be with them, you know. But if you're black, you are not welcome with them people, man. And it's sad and it's unfortunate, but you're just not, you know, you're lower. You don't even think about marrying one of their daughters, right? I can guarantee if you're a person of color, you ain't marrying someone who is of color and Muslim, you know, unless maybe Somali. If you live here, you can marry a Somali. But if you are, like, if you want to try to get, like, Fulan's, you know, fine daughter who's Lebanese or something, you're not. Sorry, you ain't going to. You might as well just, I don't know what, you know. But you ain't going to marry her. Which might be a good thing and it might be a bad thing because, you know, the culture, that culture is different than our culture here. And I'm an advocate of preserving our culture as Americans. So the best thing to do that is to marry another American. But this brings into a whole issue, like what I'm talking about is that we as converts to the religion, right, have issues because we experienced life prior to Islam, right? So just like the original Muslims, not the original in a sense that Prophet Muhammad and his companions, they weren't Muslim. They weren't born into a Muslim family. They didn't have an Islamic culture, you know, dating back 1400 years in their country, and then they emigrated to America because their country is a war zone. No, those people came from a society where they drank, they were drunkards, they drank constantly, freaking had multiple sex partners, right? Crazy. They came from this type of society, right? So they understood what the religion was about, because when the religion is now talking like, look, man, this ain't right. This is not how we were supposed to be living. It struck the chord in their heart, right? That they were like, oh, you know what? This is something. This is legit, right? Muhammad is saying stuff that is like making you, it's like affecting your heart, because even the non-Muslims would sit and listen to him. They would listen to him recite Quran because they were like, it's so powerful that even though they didn't believe it, or they didn't believe that it was a God speaking, like as in a revelation, they believed it was just him making it up, they still sat and listened because it was addressing, especially the early parts of Islam, it was addressing matters that weren't really legal. It was just reflecting upon life, reflecting upon yourself, reflecting upon the creation, reflecting upon the stars, the planets, like this type of thing. So these are things that people listen to. When you enter a state from being non-Muslim, when you convert to this religion, you are making like a choice, right? And we can say that all people make the choice to be Muslim, even if, like, my kids, I'm raising them as Muslim, but they ultimately have to make a choice when they're older if they're going to do it or not. But, you know, I'm raising them so that they're not going to be going to the club and everything like that. Hopefully they won't, you know. Maybe they will, perhaps, but I'm hoping that we do a well enough job that that doesn't happen. But in any case, so we experienced this, but we're kind of sidelined in the national conversation revolving how Islam should be pushed, how it should be dealt with. And I feel because of that, these issues, alcoholism, right, depression, drugs, now suicide, these issues, right, are caused by our society. And I'm not faulting the society, but aspects of our society are making us depressed, which makes us resort to drugs or alcohol. You know, ultimately, some people might find whatever and they commit suicide, right? So the Muslim immigrants, while alcoholism and stuff might exist in their culture, it's drastically less than it is here, because here it's promoted as the thing to do. You know, like we watch TV, we watch movies, all these things show, well, you know, you're supposed to go out to the bar, you're supposed to go drinking, you're supposed to party. You know, we don't have movies about like righteousness, you know, like everything is bad, like in the movies, you know, it highlights the worst aspects of us. You know, even good movies like do this, you know, foul language, this type of stuff, cursing, foul language, alcoholism, sex, you know, all these things. And that's a reflection of our society, and the movies highlight this, and our society as a whole highlights this. I'll use the example, right? So if you remember, in school, if you're my age and you went to public school or around my age, and they still have them now, but they had dances, right? School dances, the prom, they still have all this stuff. But you're kind of told, at least where we were raised in during the time period of the we were in elementary school during the 80s, that and if you came from a religious family, my family wasn't really that religious, but it was still had my parents went to Catholic school, and for a while I went to Catholic school. So you had like a moral concept that you're not supposed to have sex before marriage, right? And even kind of in school, they taught that back then. They're taught just don't have sex, you know. But yet they set you up in environments that make you want to have sex as a teenager. They'll have dances, right? So what do you, like, it's like we have a dance, we have a prom, but you're not supposed to like have your it's even said, oh, you who's your girlfriend, who's this? My parents are saying this, but you're not supposed to like physically be involved with them. You know, you're just supposed to have them, I guess, for whatever reason. But you're not supposed to have sex. You're not supposed to do this. You're not supposed to do that. Now it's flipped where, well, you have safe sex or whatever. And, well, I guess that should be taught. I am not an advocate of that. I think it's still better to hold off on any of that type of stuff. But, so, you know, all these things, Muslims who are not American might not even be aware of. Typically here too, because they send their kids to private Muslim school, Islamic schools, and most of them don't go to the public school system. So all this is going on within the Islamic community. It's affecting the kids. It's affecting everyone. We're kind of like kicked out of the conversation. Unless you are, unfortunately, tying this all back to the unfortunate concept of race. Even though we're all human, part of the human race, and racist race doesn't really exist amongst us. We like to say it does. So if you're white and you are a convert to Islam, you're basically at a different level than if you're a person of color, black, Latino, you know, Asian, whatever. And it's sad. It's sad that we see this like this. Brother, he's a white convert. Sends me these messages a lot about Sufism, right? So I have a problem, not a problem, I guess I'm using the term I have a problem because this is what we say, but I really have issues now with this type of mentality. So this brother's younger. I think he's in his 20s. But he accepted Islam. I know him. I don't know how, but he's from Minneapolis as well, or Minnesota, Minneapolis area. So there's actually a Taco Days is going on, and I live right in the middle of Taco Days, which is a festival here where we live. So if you just heard that, that sounded like gunshots. I don't know what it was, but they're probably celebrating or something out there. And anyway, so the brother, he became Muslim, and now he's like on this path of Sufism. And he's having these arguments online, and I'm sure in person, I don't know, about Sufism versus what they call Wahhabism or Salafism, basically the Salafis. The Sufis and the Salafis are still at it. I don't know if the Salafis are at it against the Sufis, because I do follow what Salafis are talking about. But the Sufis of his age are like still pushing this like Wahhabi hatred, which they were doing once again 20 years ago. This was a big thing. And you know, I said that to this brother. I said, you know, we were talking about this 20 years ago, and reality, it's pointless to talk about this, right? That in America, anyway, we don't need this conversation. What we need to do is kind of get on the same page and promote real issues that matter, you know, like the issues I mentioned. Depression, alcoholism, you know, it doesn't matter if you're Sufi, Salafi, you know, Tabliki, whatever, you know, these are issues that span everyone, even non-Muslim. It don't matter what you are, Christian, Jew, atheist. These are issues that affect all of us that need to be addressed. And instead you're here pushing this division, ideas, you know, like either you're with us or you're not with us. You know, are you Sufi? You know, are you not? Are you Salafi? Are you not? You know, and it doesn't even matter, man. It doesn't, man. Because both of those things, all these things, weren't around back then. The word Sufi wasn't around. Prophet Muhammad wasn't Sufi, you know. He wasn't Salafi, even though they'll try to say whatever, but those words aren't in the Quran. In the Quran, it just says Muslim, or there's other words higher than Muslim, like believer, mu'min, and this type of thing, but it's still a Muslim, you know, and there was no divisions. And historically, we know the division happened after he died, but if we're trying to emulate those people of that time period, in their understanding of the religion, then how can you say you're Sufi, or how can you say you're Salafi? You know, I'm already blacklisted on the Salafi list, so it doesn't matter. You know, Sufis probably don't like me either. I don't even care. But you know, how can we say this? How can we say this? And I know that the argument will be like, well, you know, you understand Islam based on the understanding of these people, and that's how we derive these names. But in America, it ain't what we need to be doing, man. It's not. It's not. And especially with the Sufis in America, it seems that white people become Sufis and people of color become Salafis. And I'm just speaking in very, very broad sense here. But when we put that into perspective, yes, there are people of color, black people or whatever, who are Sufis, and there's white people who are Salafis. But in a massive general stance, this is how it is. And if we look at the demographics of how these people were raised, it is generally people who are live an educated and privileged life tend to go to being Sufis. But if you're poor and from the streets, you tend to go to being Salafi, right? So I don't really know what that means, but it got to mean something, right? It got to mean something. That's how I interpret it, is that when you speak with people about Sufism, it's very like intellectual, and it's very like conceptual, and using intellectual discourse to describe things. But when you speak about Salafia or Salafism, as the politically people like to call it, it's kind of more literal and straightforward, which brings it easier to understand to people who might not be as educated and, might come from this area, like from the ghetto or something. It seems that this it un I don't know if it's unfortunate or not, but factually, Salafis tend to be ghetto, and they tend to come from the ghetto. They come from this like hood street mindset, which ties once again into the rap battling type of thing. And we saw that throughout the 90s and whatever, and you still see it today. You still see there's this group of Salafis, and unless you're with them, you ain't Salafi. That's how it is. And I don't know if that's the same with Sufis. I know my wife was Sufi, and I know there are different tariqas and stuff, but I don't know how they view each other, if one is more Sufi than the other one. I don't know. I never re I under my understanding and from what I experienced, it's not like that with Sufism. So it's fascinating. It's fascinating, this whole thing that is going on with everything. Man, it's wild. I listened to last night coming home, I happened to listen to Elon Musk, the interview. This is another thing that went crazy on the internet. Man, I happened to be listening to Joe Rogan, and he was on it. And man, that dude is on another level. And it was an excellent, excellent interview. However, if you don't know Joe Rogan, he is in California, and marijuana is legal in California. So about 2 hours into his show's typically like a 3 hour show, Joe Rogan rolls a joint or whatever, and Elon Musk takes a hit of it, right? So that blew up today. Like, that is what they highlighted again, like on the internet. That was the big thing. Oh, well, he's on the air. 'Cause if you watch it, I watched it live, and when you're watching it live, you can't comment. So if you watch the replay of it, you can comment, but when it's live, you can't comment in YouTube. So, afterwards, today, the next morning, this was at night too. So in my time, it ended like at 2 a.m., I think. Maybe it was even later. I don't know, but it was like 2 a.m. at least it ended. And I don't know what time that would have been, like in Europe and stuff, but they like ripped on him in the newspaper for smoking a joint, which is perfectly legal in California. In fact, he only had one hit. He didn't even smoke it, right? But instead of this interview, which Elon Musk like talked so in detail about what it's like in his brain, which was completely fascinating. Like completely, completely fascinating. He talked about like inventing stuff, how his mind works, like as if like it's like he thought he was crazy when he was 6 years old, and that's how like what's going on in his head. I mean, it was such a fascinating thing, and I'm sure enlightening to people who might, I don't want to say he has like some sort of like mental case, like maybe not like autism or something, but he has something because he's a genius. Like he's on like a completely different level of thought and ideas than the rest of us. And instead of that, it goes right to, oh, he smoked a joint and blah 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 blah. And it's just like the complete destruct, like it's just horrible, man. I'm just like fed up. It goes into ripping him on that, ignoring like all the positive and fascinating things he talked about, and just hyper focusing on something that was like literally maybe like 20 seconds of a 3 hour time period, and just dealing with that, and basically personality, like scarring someone's personality because of that, which was completely legal in California. And like it's like drinking, like it's like drinking, so it's okay to drink. This is like another thing I have. I don't drink, right? And I used to drink, but I was never really a big fan of drinking. It wasn't my thing. I would never drink beers and like that. Basically, like when I drank, it was like, let's get stupid kind of drunk. But it's not my thing. I'm not a drinker, and I never was. But I did smoke weed, and I'm an advocate for medical marijuana, just because of the effects that it has neurologically. I have a dystonia myself, myoclonus dystonia. It's genetic, so my kid has it. My wife has a rheumatoid arthritis, and she also has epilepsy. So I see the benefits that this can have. So I'm 100% for it. And I think the stigma around it needs to be dropped, especially when we have 100% free rein to drink. And that's like literally poison that you're doing, and it's like the harms of alcoholism are massive. But we have this stigma stemming from whatever, prohibition or whatnot, that marijuana is bad, and we need to just get past this as a human race, and because it's not. Obviously, it is like anything. If you become addicted, it is bad, but that is because you are an addict, and no matter what your addiction is harmful. So your addiction might be, I don't know what, whatever it is, smoking weed. The weed isn't the problem, it's your addiction. The fact that you have to always be smoking. Therefore, it'll affect you getting a job if they do drug testing, which I'm against. I'm against drug testing and job, especially if your job has nothing to do, especially if it's not pertinent to your job. And the concept of drug testing is faulty because marijuana stays in your system longer than alcohol. So you can be pissed drunk on Saturday, Sunday, go to work Monday, and they randomly drug test you. If you have a CDL license, like I do, this can happen. They randomly drug test you and you piss clean. But you just partied all weekend, right? And then if you smoked a joint maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago and they piss test you, you might come up dirty, right? And they'll say, well, it's, you know, illegal or whatever, or you might be under the influence. I don't even think that it's a fact that it's illegal. I believe it's because you're giving a dirty urine, therefore you might be intoxicated at that moment. That's how I believe it plays out. Same with if you get tested for alcohol, it's because you're intoxicated right now. So the life of the drug in your system can still be somehow affecting you at that moment, which is complete 100% crap. You know, there's no way 2 weeks, 3 weeks later from you taking, smoking a joint, smoking a blunt, doing a bong hit or whatever it is you do is going to affect you. There's no way. So this is just bullshit system too. But in any case, you know, we need to deal with these types of issues. Deal with them. Like I said, I'm for legalization of marijuana. I know people might have an issue with that, especially me as Muslim saying it, but it is what it is. You know, I think it should be legal, medically legal. I mean, I'm not for, you know, smoking, like, I'm not for being stoned all day, you know, just like I wouldn't be for being drunk all day. But the fact is, I think it should be legalized medically and what have you. Any case, I can keep going because there was a lot of craziness, but I'm just going to call it a night. I've been going an hour, which is longer than normal. Typically, I'd like to try to stay at 35 to 45 minutes. On Sunday, we're recording an interview. If you're still listening to this at this point, I'll just give you some stuff that's coming up. Sunday, recording a podcast with a brother in Scotland. I think he's in Scotland. So we're going to Skype it. It's for his podcast that he's producing. I'm not sure when it'll come out, but we're going to do it Sunday, which should be interesting. He sent me a bunch of cool questions. It'll kind of stemming off the interview I did from Darkness Radio. It's kind of piggybacking off that. And we're going to talk about these types of things. But it'll be cool because the guy is Muslim, so we can just dive into like aspects that you might not get from me talking to where the interviewer is non-Muslim. It's a different content, and it's kind of might be interesting. Hopefully, we'll see. So that's going on, and I don't know what else is going on, but I'm sure it'll be crazy if Eminem drops a reply to Machine Gun Kelly. That'll be something too. But I'm out for tonight because it's now late in the morning. So thanks for listening. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.